Well, pet parents know that ticks are no joke. They can upset your dog or your cat. They also give some nasty diseases. Good thing that we have researchers here at Wisconsin, at the University of Wisconsin, who are keeping an eye on tick populations. And one of the people involved with that is Lyric Bartholomew. She is our guest, and she's a UW-Madison professor in the School of Veterinary Medicine. She studies mosquitoes and ticks and the infectious disease agents that they transmit, and is one of the directors of the Midwest Center for Excellence Vector-Borne Disease. We'll probably talk with her about that a little bit, too, as we move along today. But let us know your questions about tick-borne illnesses in your pet. Or maybe tell us how many ticks you've noticed in your area this spring. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Professor Lyric Bartholomew, thank you for joining us.
Oh, Larry, I'm so delighted to be here. I'm a big fan.
Well, let's talk about the tick population. How's it looking in Wisconsin this year?
Well, it's just as obnoxious as usual, Larry. we're seeing pretty normal numbers of ticks in most of the places where our colleagues at the Department of Health Services regularly go and check for ticks.
Now, you helped develop an app, a tick app, that people can download on their smartphones for free. And I went and looked at it. It's pretty cool. How's it used?
Yeah, the tick app is, I hope, mutually beneficial. We're using that as a research tool to try and understand when and where people come in contact with ticks. And people can use it, tell us what they're doing when they come in contact with a tick, and even send us a picture of the tick so that we can identify it and send them back word of which tick they've been exposed to or encountered.
And we have a link to the app on our website. So how are you using the information?
Yeah, we've gotten some really interesting information over the years. We started the tick app back in 2018, and we did a comparison to try and understand how people in the Midwest compare to people in the Northeast in terms of tick interactions, and learned some really interesting things there. Not surprisingly, Larry, we saw that people in Wisconsin tend to be really outdoorsy and have lots of chances to come in contact with ticks. We saw that people in Wisconsin also oftentimes mow their own yards, which is different from what we saw in folks in New Jersey and New York. And we found out that people are encountering ticks more often in their backyards than we had previously appreciated. I think we kind of used to have this idea that people came in contact with the ticks, that at least the ones that transmit the bacteria that cause Lyme disease. We thought, well, you find those ticks when you go up north to your cabin or you go vacation elsewhere. But with the tick app, we started to see that more people were reporting ticks coming into contact with those ticks right in their backyards. And that really helped us launch some research projects where we're trying to understand how to better control ticks in people's yards.
Yes, that's interesting, too, because I've always heard that, you know, the story always was, well, your lawn is, the grass is short, you're not going to have tick issues.
Right. So I think that can be true, especially in the center of your yard and if your yard gets lots of sunshine. But if your yard is right up against a wooded area and there's plenty of sort of leaf litter and underbrush around your green grass, There are places where we find ticks kind of trickling into even the mowed yard.
Yeah. I had one in my yard, I don't know, a few weeks back. Something on my neck, and I pulled it off, and, well, here's a tick. Mm-hmm. Well, it hadn't attached.
Oh, good. Yeah, so that's what we're trying to do with the tick app, too, is encourage people to, you know, really be alert to these things. The tick app will send you messages to remind you to check for ticks and do the kinds of things that can protect you from coming in contact with them, and then make sure they're not on your body once you come inside.
And they're normally active. Ticks are normally active across a broad range of months here in our state, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. So we see tick activity, when the temperatures are right, we can see different life stages of ticks. And so we might see in the very early spring some adult ticks. These are the ticks that transmit Lyme disease. We might see adult ticks early in the spring. We usually see the nymph stage of ticks right around now. And we'll see the baby ticks, larval ticks, coming up too. And then in the fall, we might see adult ticks again. So it's this very long-lived life cycle. And in Wisconsin, we kind of have the full onslaught of them.
Gary in Spring Valley has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Gary.
Hello. Thanks for the program.
Sure.
Hey, I have a question. I spend a great deal of time in the woods constantly. I've got 25 acres of woods that I'm constantly working in, and we live in the country. I cut my own grass and stuff like that. But yet I don't have any trouble with ticks. My wife can go out for a walk with me, and she'll come back in and have two or three ticks on her, and I don't get any.
Isn't that amazing?
And I I've talked to other people who, you know, have the same kind of experience that I do. I'm just wondering is there any research being done on what might chemically be different about me that and others that don't ticks that maybe could be useful. I don't know if I take a supplement or a medication of some kind or whatever that might make me less attractive to ticks. But mm-hmm. they don't seem to land on me ever. Once in maybe two or three years, I'll find one crawling on me, but never attached.
Well, Gary, I'd say you're a really lucky man, and I hope it won't offend you if I say that perhaps you're a bit repellent. I know that I am, too. I just don't seem to get very many ticks on me, but I have family members, just like you've said with your wife, who are just magnets. And so we could walk side by side in the woods and they'd come in loaded with ticks and I wouldn't have any on me. I think what we're understanding from other bloodsuckers, research on things like mosquitoes, is that there are all kinds of things that attract these bloodsuckers to us. That's, you know, things like CO2 and lactic acid that are coming off of our bodies. But probably there's also something about just all the bacteria on our skin that also alert these things to our presence or push them away from us. So I think it's brilliant to imagine that would be something that could be researched and be really informative.
Yeah. But
we're not doing that right now.
Okay. Well, what are the main diseases? There are several diseases, are there not, that ticks can
transmit? There really are. So we have really two main ticks that people and pets would encounter in the state of Wisconsin. Those are what we call the deer tick. That's the sort of term a lot of people would be familiar with, and then also the dog tick. And each of them presents different threats. I think the one we talk about most is the deer tick. The scientific name of that tick is Ixodes scapularis. That tick can transmit really a wide variety of different pathogens, including things like you're familiar with, Lyme disease, also anaplasmosis. I know there are probably quite a few folks who are listeners who've experienced that or have loved ones who've experienced that. It's another one that can make you quite sick. And then there's some that we see with a lot less frequency. So, for example, there's a virus that's transmitted by those same ticks, too. It's called Powassan virus. There's another kind of bacteria related to Lyme that those ticks can transmit. There's an Ehrlichia. So it's really this kind of terrifying slate of different pathogens that just one tick can transmit. And sometimes they're infected with more than one thing. So it's really important that we have ways to look out for them, which is kind of, Larry, what inspired us to develop the tick app and understand the risks, like what you're doing when you come into contact with those ticks so you can protect yourself from all of those different potential infections.
I've got to admit, I don't have that app on, but I think I'm going to put it on after looking at it.
Great.
And seeing the information there, and it's a free app.
That's right. Yep. So we developed that app here at the UW with our colleagues in engineering, actually, the Center for Health Engineering Systems, and with some colleagues at Columbia University and also Michigan State University. And we wanted it to be something that would benefit people, so it's available to you all to download for free from either the Apple or the Android stores where you might normally download your apps.
Joan wants to know, can people get Lyme disease from infected pets?
They cannot. So the only way you can get Lyme disease is by having the tick feed on you. And we know that the tick has to feed on you for quite a long time. So it wouldn't be something that you could directly get from your pet.
That's good news.
Yes.
anyway, well, let's talk about symptoms. Now, symptoms, the Lyme disease one, mm-hmm. Is it always this target or shape on the skin that predicts it?
The target's really informative. If you have the target, that's a great sign that you're in need of some antibiotics. But no, not everybody sees the target. Not everybody gets the target. So, you know, on very fair skin in a really obvious place, you might see that target. On darker skin, you might never see it. And, you know, maybe it's on your back and you're not looking in the mirror that way, so you wouldn't ever find it. So it's really informative if it's there, but if you don't see it, that doesn't mean you don't potentially have it, right?
Martha emailed that her daughter is worried about the safety of giving her dog oral tick, flea, and heartworm medications versus applications that go on the skin. They live in the deer and wood tick capital of Wisconsin. So oral.
Yeah. I think the oral drug that we often use for protecting pets from ticks, usually there's a combination of things in those oral meds. So you might get an oral medication that has a heartworm preventative and a roundworm and a tapeworm preventative and then a flea and tick preventative too. And the safety of those drugs is really excellent. So I feel really good about putting those, giving those to my dogs. I'm a dog woman. I have three dogs myself, and happily use those because they're quite safe for the dogs that I have. So just like you were talking about with Dr. Walter, Larry, there may be some pet breeds that are different, and so you'd really want to talk with your veterinarian and make sure that those drugs are safe for the breed of dog that you have. But generally, the safety of those drugs is really excellent, and I also use the topicals on my dogs to keep ticks off of them. I think those also work really well, and they're quite safe. They're just messier, so the dog's fur looks sort of slicked back for a few days after you put that on them. But you know, whatever you do, I think it's really important that you choose one or the other with your veterinarian's consultation, because things like Lyme disease can make a dog really sick. And Larry, I actually have a little dog. I'm an entomologist, and the dog I have is called a Bug. It's a Boston Terrier Pug mix. And she got Lyme and went limp in both one of her front and one of her back legs, and was really, really sick. So I can't recommend those preventatives enough. You don't want your dog to get Lyme.
No. James in Wausau has something. Let's go there. Hi, James.
Hi. I just wanted to relate that I had babesiosis from a tick bite last June, and people usually don't mention that one. And it's a parasitic disease. It acts very much like malaria, and they treat it with malaria medication. And I'm also, I was in the hospital for 4 days before they finally identified it.
James, wow. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's so important that people know about babesiosis. It's another one of those things that the deer tick, the Lyme disease tick, can also transmit. And as you said, it's very much like a malaria parasite. So it's different than the bacteria that cause Lyme disease. It's one that gets right inside your red blood cells. And you can imagine, Larry, if a parasite's in your red blood cells, it would make you really, really sick. So so thanks, James, for pointing that out. Another really good reason to do everything you can to prevent being bitten by a tick.
James, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Our guest today, Professor Lyric Bartholomew, is a UW-Madison professor in the School of Veterinary Medicine, studies mosquitoes and ticks and the infectious disease agents they transmit. And you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1422. 1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. We're taking a look at ticks and the research and work that's going on to help us better deal with them with our guest, Lyric Bartholomew from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. It's great to have her back with us. And you, again, can join in 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Dave in Springbrook has a comment for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I'm enjoying your show, and I'd like to say a comment about babesiosis. I, too, was diagnosed with that a few years ago, and how they diagnosed that was I'm a regular donor to Red Cross to give blood, and they screened my blood and said, "Whoop, can't take it this time."
Right? Wow.
And they told me why, and it kind of caught me off guard because I had absolutely zero symptoms.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, I just felt normal.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Anyway, so little incentive to go give blood. Get a free drug scan.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave, thank you very much for calling. Well, Carl in Plymouth will give you a chance. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I heard your show, and I was just calling about our cat, probably 10 years old, is inside, outside, and I've found probably 5 or 6 black-legged, super small ticks on her within a day. It's always around her face. She has some really thick fur otherwise. And, considering a treatment for that, some sort of treatment to prevent that. But I was also wondering, I work in agriculture, and we use garlic salt as for cattle. Keeps the ticks and flies off incredibly well. And I don't know, can get the cat to eat that. have you heard of anything like that? Because cows and animals will eat it like crazy because they need the mineral. But the garlic is incredible.
Not so good for the cats don't like it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, cats certainly can get really infested, we would say, with ticks. And so that's where I've seen them on cats, too, is around their noses, Carl. And so, you'll want to get those off of your cat or do talk to your veterinarian, too, about what medications might be good for keeping the ticks off of your cat. Sometimes they're different than the ones you can safely give dogs. So, so good on you for that. And the garlic salt is really interesting. There are a lot of folks who have said a variety of things are that you could add to your diet to make you more repellent to different bloodsuckers. And I hadn't heard that garlic salt one yet, but that's really interesting. I think what it points out is that we really need ways to keep these things off of us, and for people at least, the best ways to do that would be to use EPA-registered repellents, and that would be things that have like 20% or 30% DEET in them or picaridin. Knowing that there's a risk, seeing them on your cat alerts you to the fact that the ticks are out, and to keep them off of yourself too.
And this is the time of year for this, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. And so, Larry, the ticks that transmit things like babesiosis that our two callers mentioned and the Lyme disease bacteria are these deer ticks. And the particular life stage that does it is the nymph stage. So we kind of call that the teenager stage. The nymph stage is really small. And so you may have seen a few years ago the CDC had some campaign for keeping yourself safe from ticks that had a poppy seed muffin with ticks on it. And that was to remind us that the size of these ticks is so tiny. It's really like the size of a poppy seed. And so those are out and active right now, and they're really hard to detect. So being alert to that possibility is really important.
Yeah. Leslie in Cottage Grove called to ask, couldn't stay with us, wondering if diatomaceous earth will keep her chickens tick-free if using diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, I think in the poultry realm, there's a lot of use of things like diatomaceous earth to keep all kinds of lice and other things off of poultry. And interestingly, Larry, right now there's a graduate student in the lab who's working on something like diatomaceous earth as a potential to keep ticks away. So we're doing that research to see if that might also, keep people and other pets safe.
You think global warming is playing a role in the spread of ticks?
You know, with ticks, the equation's not as simple as, you know, temperature changes equating to more ticks. They're really reliant on having particular hosts. So they've got to have mice to feed on in their early stages, and they've got to have deer to feed on. So the extent of ticks is really limited by where their hosts are. But I would say warmer temperatures make for tick activity maybe lasting longer in the fall and starting up sooner in the spring. So it might not mean more ticks overall, more numbers, but it could mean more times of the year when there's a possibility we'd encounter them.
Yeah. Wow. And we haven't talked about mosquitoes at all, but how do you tell if you're pet might have a mosquito-borne illness?
Yeah, the big one that we worry about around here in terms of mosquito-borne disease is heartworm. So it's another one of those things where it's really great to use preventatives, because a dog that gets heartworm is really, really sick, and cats can get really sick from this too. So, Larry, it's another moment to just say that, you know, these oral drugs that you can give your pets can protect them from fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and the parasites that mosquitoes might cause. So it's not one that you want your dog to ever get.
Yeah, for sure. And that app, that tick app, let's go back to that again.
Yeah.
Because where do we get that? You can get it at, here at wpr.org/Larry. We'll give you the spot, but...
Yeah. So we have a website associated with the Tick app. So look up Tick app, all one word, and you can find us that way and find a link to download it. And also you can find it in the Apple iTunes store. That's probably not what it's called, Larry, but, you know, the Apple store where you download apps, and also the app store for Android phones. So freely available in those places. And we'd be really, really grateful to have folks join on and tell us when they're encountering ticks, and send us photos of your tick, and we can let you know what you've encountered.
And last, Andy wonders, are we going to get that vaccination for Lyme disease?
Yeah, thanks, Andy, for that question. I think the prospects are good. It's kind of promising, I would say. Right now, there's a Lyme disease vaccine that's in what's called the third phase of clinical trials, and the companies that are working on that are hopeful that it might be as soon as 2026 that we could see a Lyme disease vaccine again.
Be nice to have. Mm-hmm. Lyric, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It flew by.
It flew by.
We'll
Ticks don't
back.
Fly, Larry, but I do.
Oh, man. Lyric Bartholomew is UW-Madison professor in the School of Veterinary Medicine. It's great to have her with us. And we will get her back. We'll do it again. Just quickly remember, we have a one-day member drive coming up on Thursday. You don't have to wait, though. You can give right now and get one of our thank you gifts. We've got a Badger tote. We've got a WPR Badger koozie. You can get both of them. Go to wpr.org/donate, and you can have one of those. And a big thanks again to Lyric, of course, and our other guests today, and also to our team. Lee Rayburn's our technical director. Jeff Robbins is also one of our technical directors. And Clara Neipert, Joel Patnaud, our producers. Executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.